This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Beautiful spring morning, March 21st here, Friday, March 21st, and 42 degrees in Houma, 45 here in Belchase, working from home today, thanks to Teddy the dog for behaving, 47 in New Orleans, going up to only the upper 60s, that by sunset, so if you're out, you're going to need a little, maybe a little light cover-up or something like that, jacket or sweater, something along those lines. And then tomorrow and Sunday, beautiful weather, highs in the mid-70s, mixture of sun and clouds, so get out and enjoy it while you can. You can early vote today and tomorrow, and then that's it. And the election is next Saturday, March 29th, here to talk about Amendment Number 2, which we've been discussing a lot because there is a lot in it, is Louisiana Revenue Secretary Richard Nelson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me what went into crafting this amendment before we talk about specifically what's in it. And because there have been some questions raised about the methodology, about whether it was too much in there, too fast, crammed in. This is no way to change a tax code, et cetera. What would you say to that, Richard?
I would say this is absolutely necessary. And I mean, and really, it's been probably 50 years in the making. So I know some people say, hey, we should wait. We should talk about this some more, and I couldn't disagree more. I mean, this is something that's been studied since the last Constitution was written in 1974. Even immediately after that, they said, you know, there were criticisms that came out about, hey, there was too much stuff we stuck in this Constitution. I don't know that this is the right way to do it. And, you know, honestly, organizations like PAR Louisiana has studied this for, you know, decades. And so a lot of the changes that we put into it actually came from there. They did a big 100-page research paper on what should go in the Constitution, how should we change it. That was the basis, really, of this whole document and the whole amendment. And then we drafted that and then spent basically a year going around the state. We had multiple legislative committee meetings before we even went into the special session last year to discuss these changes. We got input from pretty much every group in the state. I took meetings and, you know, drove from one corner to the other. So this really is about 50 years worth of progress put into a single amendment. It is complicated. Unfortunately, we have, you know, a significant number of problems in Louisiana that are in this Article 7, so we had a lot of things to fix. But it is a giant leap forward for the state.
So you're saying while it may have happened quickly, you're saying that there was a lot of time spent on deciding what should be done to get this thing together and actually put it on the ballot, correct?
Absolutely. And I mean, I like it, liken it somewhat to it's kind of like a rocket launch. Like there's a lot of work that goes into before you launch the rocket. And it's just, you know, it's over, you know, that piece of it is over relatively quickly, but there was a whole lot of planning and research and everything that went into it to get it to that point. Including, you know, in this case, before we even went into that special session, we probably had five or six at least public committee meetings where we talked about all the things we were going to do. You know, we went around the state and talked about it as well. So there has been a lot of input from, you know, from everybody across the board, and we just had this special session that was only 2 weeks, but it was 2 weeks that was absolutely focused on doing these kind of changes. So, you know, in a normal session, there's a ton of stuff going on, and we focused in this really just on tax reform.
I'm going to try to launch a rocket here, Richard, early and go to traffic so we can have a lot of time when we come back to discuss the specific things involved in Amendment 2. We're talking to Revenue Secretary Richard Nelson, early voting today and tomorrow, then the election next Saturday, Amendment number 2. I'm looking at the PAR guide here. You can go to parlouisiana.org to have it broken down for you. They don't take a stance on it. They just tell you what a vote for would do, what a vote against would do. Overhaul of budget, tax allowances, and limitations. We'll talk about it when we return. Traffic now, WWL.
Yeah, so obviously it's very simple, right?
Absolutely. Sure, nothing to it. Just like that.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think on the tax side, what we do is we reduce the maximum rate of income tax, right? We drop it from 3.75 or from 4.75 down to 3.75. So that means that the legislature won't ever be able to go and raise the tax above that amount. And so that's pretty necessary because we're looking at states like Texas and Florida. We'd like to get the income tax rate down to zero, and we're just trying to move in that direction. So that helps in that. We do double the standard deduction for senior citizens. So if you're over 65, you'll basically be able to get $25,000 a year tax-free after the amendment passes. And so that's double what the current standard deduction is. We do put some, basically a barrier for special interest tax breaks. You know, one of the problems in Louisiana we've had is we're kind of addicted to credits and exemptions, and we, you know, tell businesses go hire a lobbyist and get your special break. And so we did a lot of work to get rid of a lot of those in that tax reform session last November. And so we actually put like a barrier in the Constitution in this amendment to, kind of restrict that going forward. It's going to take at least a 2/3 vote of the legislature to create any kind of special exemption or credit going forward. So that's very important, I think, in keeping us on the right track. On the funds, I think are really important as well. The savings accounts, we merged two of the state savings accounts and we increased the balance of the rainy day fund, which is our main savings account. We increased that to basically $3 billion, which is going to make it one of the best funded in the country. And then we used the revenue stabilization fund that was really supposed to go to infrastructure. It got a lot of our severance money and corporate money. And so we basically, you know, direct that to the general fund so we can spend that on infrastructure right now. And that was the thought behind that. Finally, the educational trust funds. I know that's a concern to a lot of people about, hey, you know, what are we going to get for that? In reality, we're going to save $300 million a year. By making this payment, we're going to pay off almost a quarter of the teacher's retirement debt, about $2 billion. That's billion with a B. It's going to save us $1 billion in interest, and we're going to save $300 million a year. And we're going to use that savings to give the teachers, a permanent $2,000 pay raise. And for a lot of teachers, it's actually going to be more than that because there's going to be excess savings, so it could actually end up being a little bit more.
Let me get to the text line here. Ken, Richard, somebody texted in and said, if everything is supposed to be revenue neutral in quotation marks and those at the highest income levels would receive the most benefit from moving to a flat tax as opposed to a progressive tax, what sources make up the difference? They presume some things there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so this actually doesn't really change. This doesn't really change the income tax structure. It just lowers the maximum allowable rate of income tax, right? So the tax structure exists now. We have a flat 3% income tax rate. So the only additional, I would say, income tax change is that senior citizens now will get double the standard deduction. And so typically, if you're over 65, you know, you're retired, you're on a fixed income, and you don't make necessarily as much money. So this will give you an added benefit. When you double the standard deduction compounded with what, you know, the other change we did last year, it's about a third of seniors no longer will have any income liability. So it is a pretty significant reduction for our seniors.
I know this is going to sound silly, but people texted in, so I'll ask you. They want to know if Governor Landry's in support of Amendment 2, and I think the answer is obviously yes, right?
Yeah, so Governor Landry's been working really hard to try and get this passed. He and I worked together for, you know, almost the entirety of last year to bring this to where it is now. He's crisscrossing the state, and I'm crisscrossing the state, too, trying to, you know, tell people what's in it and get them on board.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
And so he is 100% in favor of it.
Give the voters your elevator pitch, if you will, Richard. And I'm not trying to be silly about this, but there is a lot of stuff in there. It is very complex. To me, it comes down to, if you want things changed in the state, you got to look at it as a representative democracy, and you elected these people to do what's best for you, and you got to trust them. To me, that's what it comes down to, is trust the legislature and the governor.
You know, I look at it somewhat of, if you're happy with the last 50 years of Louisiana, you know, what's happened in Louisiana for the last 50 years, you know, this gets away from that status quo. I don't think anybody is happy with, you know, losing population like we have, and losing businesses, and having their kids have to go to Texas or Florida for opportunity. And this really cleans the slate. I mean, it implements 50 years worth of policy recommendations to really put Louisiana on the best foot forward so that we can continue with the progress that we've made. And I think grow the state in the future. So I really think this is one of the most important things we'll ever have the opportunity to vote on in our lifetimes. And so I really encourage everybody to read about it, look it up, and definitely go vote, and, you know, preferably vote in favor of it, because it really is a transformational amendment for the state of Louisiana.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Have a good weekend. Richard Nelson, Louisiana Revenue Secretary. You can go to parlouisiana.org. You'll find a nice rundown of every amendment that's on the ballot. We'll take a break, come back, help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Right now, it's time for traffic on news and WWL First News. That's what I meant. Yeah, there we go. 7:46, 14 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Friday morning. That's when we help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Before we go to Mark, you can always listen to anything that we do after it happens, either by downloading the Odyssey app using the rewind feature for 24 hours, or just going to WWL.com and clicking on my name or Noel's name or Scoot or whomever, Sports Talk, and you can listen to whatever we did. And I say that because yesterday we had the credit guru on, John Alzheimer, who formerly worked with FICO and Equifax, and he was talking about credit ratings and reports and the differences in this and that and what can help, what can hurt. And Mark Rosa was listening. I tell you that because you can go back and listen, not now, but after Mark's on, and you can see what some of the stuff that Mark's referring to is. And if you can also access jeffersonfinancial.org safely on your computer, you'll find in the middle of the page, manage your money and plans for your future with our financial calculators. You click on that, you'll find four tabs, and then from there, 90-something calculators that you can use absolutely free. With all of that said, let's welcome in Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, sir. Happy Friday to you.
I bet you're liking today. I bet you're liking today with that weather.
What I heard was you got the heater on, so let's pause for a second. You could go turn that off.
Well, I had to put it on because I had the door wide open for Teddy to come in and out as he pleased, the dog.
So it was getting chilly.
It was getting a little. I had more outside inside than I had inside outside, if that makes sense. Anyway, more inside inside.
I get it.
Tell me what you want to talk about with credit.
Well, tell me, John is such a bastion of information about credit reports, and I even learned stuff. Being in the business 40 years, you could always learn something. Because the credit report process has evolved over time, and things have obviously improved with technology. But, you know, for people to understand what's on their credit report and seeing it from like a banker's standpoint, but it's not just the bankers. And I'm going to go over that this morning. So it's a list of your credit. It's how you managed your money, and that's what the report is, and it comes with that score. He explains it very capably, but. It's, you know, a three-digit number. Somebody pulls your credit report. And what happens with the internal calculation is the credit report is under It's like government guidance. It's got to be the sexy way to describe that. It's got to be empirically derived and statistically sound. And then it's got to be validated periodically so that the statistical process that they're using, the highly mathematical process that they're using, is producing scores that are indicative of how people manage their money. And the scores from 850 down to 300, 850 being the higher number, but the higher credit. And it's so within that, a lender or a user of a credit report, or even somebody pulling their own credit report, whatever comes out on the score is what your credit score is. And I'm not to know as a lender, I'm not to know what the formula is that defines a score. So that's protected. So somebody couldn't try to manipulate the credit that you have to produce maybe a higher score than you should otherwise have. So that's where that empirically derived comes from. They have to construct that to keep it as consistent as they can, because so many decisions are made from a person's credit report. So it's when a lender, speaking from a banker's vernacular, okay, I pull a credit report, somebody comes in and applies for a loan. Well, that's one of the primary tools that are used for the institution to address credit risk and risk management. Because the government got into this around the early 2000s. I've been in banking since 85. And back then it was kind of, well, you really don't have to pull a credit report on people. That's the institution's ability. Well, I know this guy. I've known him for years. It was more the handshake type of environment, and I didn't have to pull a bureau all the time. Okay, the government steps in around early 2000s saying we're going to risk-based exams. What does that mean? That means when they come in to examine the institution, like they do pretty much every 12 to 18 months, and they want to have a conversation with the management and say, okay, give me a list. Tell me how you're managing, fill in the blank. How are you managing credit risk? What due diligence do you perform to ensure that the portfolio, the lending portfolio, is healthy? And so, okay, we pull a bureau. Well, that's right at the top of the scale. Okay, you pull a bureau and you're looking at it. You're looking at what the score is. What policies do you have to address who are you loaning to? So for some of what I'm understanding of the big box banks, let's say I'm picking on Capital One, and I'm just using that as an example. They might have a policy. It's like, well, we loan over a large area, and we're a fairly big institution. So you know what our policy says? Any A or B credit we will loan to, and any of the credit grades below that, we have a policy that we won't extend credit to them. That is their way of managing risk. Credit risk and loaning to people that have particular scores. Our policy, Jefferson Financial's policy, is that we'll look at every credit score. So we could loan on e-credit, maybe with some help within the application, meaning somebody might co-sign for somebody, or they use a certain amount of collateral, or something else that might be mitigating the risk there. But that's what goes on the other side of the credit report. When John says, there's annual creditreport.com, I was looking at my own computer this morning, getting ready, and I last pulled my credit report in 2020 because I was refinancing my house at the time. So the house has since been sold. But I was checking my credit. I didn't want anything to bleed over. I wanted from maybe an error that was reported on my report, or just any. I want to check my own credit before I go applying for credit, or getting into a transaction with a financial institution. And that's probably at the top of my list this morning to say, everybody, it's free. And let me say, the annualcreditreport.com is the only site where the government is supportive of that site, and it's free and open to the public, and you could see what your credit report is before anyone else can see it. So the ingredients on there is going to determine whether somebody extends you credit, or what kind of credit can be extended towards you. So if you've got credit cards, you've got the smattering, you've got credit cards, and I've financed a couple of cars before, I financed a couple of houses before. Your score should reflect that, and will probably be high if you were paying on time and being consistent with how the loan was put together. That's where a high credit score will come from, and the likelihood of somebody lending you money or extending credit to you beyond what you currently have in history than is high. So you have people at, you know, I've seen a lot of A paper credit reports. Somebody walks in, it's like, you know, what kind of car can I buy? And it's like, well, you know, your credit report is so stellar. You pretty much have carte blanche. You could buy just about anything you want. And with some other things pending, like your debt ratio and some other ratios that I have to do as a lender, getting back to that risk-based exam to make sure I'm doing due diligence, and I'm loaning the institution's money out, so there are things that I have to do to put a fence around it. So if somebody's really – they're managing their money properly, even if their debt ratio is a little higher than normal, all that's got to be addressed in the institution's policies, and you could make – you could make loans in that type of environment. But if you pull in a credit report, it's like somebody who's really struggling, they've really been having a hard time, and they're, you know, they got a new cell phone 2 months ago and they're already a month late, that's not going to bode well. First of all, your credit score is going to reflect that. It's going to be a low number. Again, high is 850, the low is 300. And as it's falling, as it's getting towards that 300, you're going to be like radioactive as far as people loaning you money. But Tom, what has happened over time, this being again empirically derived, is that you've had like people in the periphery, that insurance companies will use credit reports. I mean, these are institutions that aren't loaning any money at all, but they want to see how you're managing your money, and that's allegedly indicative of how you're managing your life. Employers, of course, lenders, apartment complexes, equipment renters. Many of those are saying, well, look, I'm going to pull a bureau on you. I know I'm not lending you money, but I want to see what you have been doing from a financial standpoint. And that may determine if you're going to get the rental car. That may determine if you're going to get a job. So the people, when I do it, I'm still teaching my class at UNO. I tell my students, but I know y'all are focused on your grades because you're in an academic environment, but don't let your credit fall off the table and look like you dropped a grenade in there. Because you will not get a lot of work. All financial services, brokers, insurance companies, banks, they're going to pull a bureau on you before they're extending you a job offer. So it can't look like a mess when you're going into some of these professions. The answer is going to be no.
Valuable information indeed. Mark, thank you so much. Y'all go to jeffersonfinancial.org, find those calculators. Mark will join us again Monday when we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO, Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, 756, quickly to traffic on WWL.